Well, howdy everybody. I'm in the middle of moving cross country, so I thought I'd keep this video lo-fi and just hang out with you guys for a bit. Actually, I guess I can't say howdy anymore if I'm leaving Texas. I'm hanging up my boots and spurs. I'm saying one last goodbye to Bucky's. As a little reminder, Second Thought is entirely grassroots funded. So if you appreciate the work we're doing here, please do consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/secondthought. We really do appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you. And you get a bunch of cool perks while you're at it. Get early access to videos, access to our Discord server. It's a great time. Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about doomerism today. And I've put off writing this script for a while because I wanted to be in the right mindset for it. Like most politically active people, I go through rough patches where I just don't want to deal with it anymore. I'm exhausted. Where it feels like nothing I do matters. No matter how many people I get to join orgs or get involved in their community or just read a book. I'm a generally positive, optimistic person, but sometimes that negativity still seeps in and I turn into a doomer for a few days. The last couple days have kind of been that way. Intellectually, I know I'm doing something useful, but doomerism isn't really a rational thing. But okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. For those who aren't familiar with the term, doomerism is just the internet-poisoned way to say you're feeling pessimistic or you're a nihilist, or basically you just believe that there's nothing we can do to affect positive change in the world. The bad guys have won, the status quo is here to stay, why should we even bother trying to make things better? And I get that sentiment, I really do. I think we all go through periods where things just seem so unbelievably bleak that we can't possibly imagine a brighter future. I know that for my fellow supporters of Palestinian liberation, it's been especially bad lately. How can we open Twitter, see children literally torn to pieces, and think, yeah, this is something we can fix? It's hard. But there are a couple different kinds of doomerism. The one I'm describing now, temporary lapses into despair, that's one kind. One that I think most people face regardless of political alignment. We all get the big sad sometimes. But there's another form of doomerism that I want to focus on today, and it's one that I've been struggling to diagnose for a while, but I think I've finally got it. There's a particular kind of commenter that will leave a comment saying something like, "Yes, this is bad, but what can we do?" In fact, I'd say this is the most common type of comment I get on this channel. A recognition that there are things that need fixing, but feeling at a loss as to what recourse normal people have to affect change. And I'll admit, in the past, my first reaction has usually been irritation. I'll snap at commenters and say, "I literally have a video with that exact title. That's why I made that video in the first place." But that's not helpful. I understand why people ask this question. I understand that there are plenty of people out there who are new to properly left-wing ideas and are feeling a little lost or unmoored. They've just had the comfortable lies about the modern world and capitalism debunked. They've had their sense of stability and confidence shaken. It's this commenter I want to talk to today. Because when a liberal, and I'm using that term broadly, talking about subjects of liberal regimes here, when a liberal has their foundational beliefs challenged, they begin to undergo a sort of metamorphosis. When a normal person who has gone their whole life believing the ingrained cultural lies of capitalism is exposed to ideas that challenge those beliefs, they experience a kind of unease that is difficult to put into words. It's like learning that Santa Claus isn't real or that chicken the food is the same thing as chicken the bird. That one did a number on me as a kid. Anyway, what often happens at first is rejection of these offensive ideas. "What do you mean the US isn't democratic? You can't just say the two parties serve the same interests. Our wars absolutely are about giving people freedom." I'm poking fun a little bit here, but honestly, it is really hard to change your opinions, especially on such culturally significant beliefs as American exceptionalism and the goodness of capitalism. And I applaud anyone who can adjust their perspective based on new evidence. That's something we should all strive to do. Now, this initial knee-jerk rejection of socialist ideas is normal. And if the person has the intellectual honesty to keep learning more, it almost always gives way to curiosity. Genuine, good-faith questions. "What about the Soviet Union? I heard they did X." Or, "How does socialism handle small business?" Stuff like that. Questions that have easy answers, the person has just never heard them before. It's like anything else. I don't know anything about rebuilding boat engines. I wouldn't even know the questions to ask until I started watching some introductory videos. This is all part of the learning process. The next step is acceptance. Once your questions have been answered to your satisfaction, or at least when you realize that answers are out there if you just keep doing your research, you'll get to a point where you're comfortable saying, okay, these ideas are factually sound and morally correct, but... And now this is where the political doomer is born. Someone born in the United States is the most propagandized person in the world. Every country on Earth sells a polished version of itself to its populace. But only Americans actually believe their myth. And this is not me trying to be unkind. I'm an American. I had to go through this same process. But this cultural conditioning makes it really hard to amend our worldview. Even when we do realize that, holy shit, the commies were right, we still can't quite envision a better future. I've got a video on capitalist realism if you want to explore this idea more fully. But the gist of it is that when we live in a society that is so dominant, culturally, militarily, economically, it's really hard to imagine a future where that is not the case. It's like that Ursula Le Guin quote, "We live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable. So did the divine right of kings." That's like my favorite quote. I use it all the time. Anyway, when you get to this point, when you're convinced of the necessity of socialism, but you just can't quite see how we get there, your culturally ingrained liberalism launches one last desperate attack. Doomerism is the last defense mechanism of your personal internalized liberalism. If you're a liberal, the default position in the US, and you learn about socialist ideas, about why society is the way it is, your liberalism says to you, yes, you may be right about that, but there's nothing you can do about it. This is a brilliant, almost biological defense. It's a built-in safety valve to prevent the genesis of a new wave of revolutionary sentiment. The American empire is vulnerable from the inside. All empires are. If enough workers decide that we need to shut down the economy to force change, that's GG for the ruling class. Without workers to do the work, they don't make any money. So by instilling in every person a deep-seated belief that nothing can change, even if we believe it should, you preemptively shut off the possibility of a new revolutionary movement. This is masterful work. It's a defense mechanism that requires very little input from those at the levers of power. All they have to do is keep paying the corporate media to repeat their lies and keep lobbying politicians to pass legislation that benefits them at the expense of the rest of us, the environment, and the future. This cultural liberalism, the soft, squishy defeatism that we're indoctrinated into, is so burned into our collective psyche that the average American will even leap to defend the very people behind the maintenance of this pathetic worldview. Sheep yelling at sheep to defend the fat, grinning, blood-stained wolf in our pen. Now, the liberal politician's goal is to turn you from a potential active, educated revolutionary back into an apathetic worker drone who accepts the status quo, even if you do it begrudgingly. Yeah, it's bad, but there's nothing we can do. Guess I'll get back to work and accept my miserable lot in life. The final antibody they can deploy, their last line of defense, is that feeling of despair and doom. Now I'd really like to speak directly to the people in this position, the viewers who know exactly the despondent feeling I'm talking about. If you feel that, you are experiencing the death throes of your liberalism, and you're now faced with a choice. Do I give in to this despair? Do I accept this bullshit liberal explanation of the world? Or do I fully come to grips with the fact that, yes, things are terrible, but things can change, and it is my responsibility to be part of the generation that forces change? There's a second part to that Le Guin quote. We live in capitalism. Its power seems inescapable. But then so did the divine right of kings. Any human power can be resisted and changed by human beings. What we're facing today is nothing new. The tools the ruling class has at its disposal may be more advanced. The average person may believe more deeply that their oppressors are their friends. But not once in history, not one time, has positive change happened at a structural level without some form of conflict. Not always violent, but those in power have never, ever given up their power willingly. Why would someone making billions of dollars under capitalism agree to give another system a try? Especially a system that would prevent the kind of ungodly capital accumulation they've enjoyed. Tough love time. When you reach the point of political doomerism, when you hear that nagging voice that says, yes, this is bad, but there's nothing you can do about it, peasant, you have two options. You can continue to mope and whine and wallow in self-pity, or you can realize that that reaction is programmed into you and choose to do something about it. What's the other option? Roll over and die? Accept as inevitable that a handful of people with more power than God have the right to doom our entire species to sate their greed? No. No. While you're alive, you try. You try to force change. We are weak only when we act alone. The hyper-individualism of capitalism has conditioned us to believe that we are solitary creatures looking out only for ourselves, and that only through individual actions can we decide our fate. That is a lie. Look through any history book and you'll see that the drivers of change have always been mass movements. Masses of people deciding enough is enough, we're trying something new. I know it's scary, I know it's not what you hoped your life would look like, but this is the hand we've been dealt. Humanity is at a crossroads. Down one road, we have the genocidal accumulation of capitalism and extinction. Down the other is survival and the birth of a new socioeconomic order. We get to choose. Make the right choice. Choose to work for a better future. Ignore that insidious voice in your head that says, this is just how things are. You think like that, and there's nothing separating you from the feudal serf kissing the ring of his lord. Do not go to bed tonight without having reached out to a socialist organization in your area. If you can't find one, ask online. Ask here in the comments. Join something. I don't care which one it is. They all have their good and bad points. But getting organized is the only way we win. You want to be a doomer? That's your choice. But there is an alternative. If everyone watching this video joined a socialist organization, we could quadruple membership easily. Do it. Today. I'm talking to you specifically. Doomerism is a lie. Let's work to prove it.